First of all, Wednesday nights are back in session, so we are meeting every Wednesday night. So if you aren't coming on Wednesday nights, we'd really encourage you to come and invite you to come because we are doing different studies. High school's doing Eternal Story. Middle school's doing Walking Through the Gospel of Mark, so come out to that. Let's see, D Group Night In is not this Wednesday, but it's next Wednesday. Have you guys all figured out what you're gonna do for your D groups?
No.
Okay, you need to talk to your D group leaders, okay? You need to get this down. You need to encourage your D group leaders to get that information back to me because I need that information. So, talk about that with your D groups, okay? On Wednesday. That's the next upcoming events. I think that's it. So let's jump into it. It's good to see you guys all here this morning. Thank you for being here in this class. I hope you've been enjoying the nice weather. Have you guys gotten outside this weekend? Okay. I went on a run yesterday, and I felt like I could go forever because it was actually a cool day, and it wasn't blistering hot. And as soon as you walked outside, you didn't start sweating, you know, as soon as you walked outside. But anyway, it's been a great weekend. But before we jump into anything this morning, let's do a quick review from what we covered last week. So we started last week, we started a series called Knowing God. And we learned that knowing God is not just about gaining a lot of information about God. It's not just about coming to church on Sunday mornings and gaining all that information and doing nothing with it. Okay? Knowing God is about beginning a personal, transformative relationship with God. So how do we do that, you may ask? We do that through confessing Christ as Lord and Savior, first and foremost. Believing in Jesus, repenting of your sins. This is how we can enter into a life-changing relationship with Christ. But it doesn't just stop there. Knowing God is a lifelong pursuit, okay? We talked about, what was the verse that we opened up to? Anyone remember? This is where candy comes, or is involved. For a blue one. What verse did we turn to last week to talk about how eternal life, or knowing God, is not just a one-time thing, that it's a lifelong pursuit? Reese, what's... John 17:3. Does anyone know that verse? Or does anyone know the answer to what is eternal life? Yeah.
Knowing God?
Yeah, knowing God. Yeah, Jesus' answer to what is eternal life, his answer is knowing God is eternal life. So eternal life is knowing God intimately. Not just knowing about him, not just knowing a bunch of facts about him that you can just spit out whenever. It's knowing him intimately. This relationship is an urgent matter, we talked about last week, because eternity is on the line. It's on the line. Our decision to seek God now has eternal consequences. So in a world where we are constantly busy and distracted, I started out last week talking about how we are all busy. We are all so distracted by the things of this world. But in a life, in a world that's full of busyness and distraction, we must learn to be still, as the psalmist says, or I'll say hit pause on different things in your life, and know God. Know God by seeking him through, we're going to talk about today, through studying the Bible, studying his word. Next week, we're going to talk about through meditation of his word. We're going to talk about in a few weeks, prayer. We're going to talk about intentional time spent with him. So this is the essence of eternal life. The essence of eternal life is to know God deeply and personally. That first starts with knowing him in a transformative relationship by confessing him as Lord of your life, by believing in him and repenting of one's sin. But that doesn't stop there. You need to know him. It needs to be your pursuit throughout your entire life. So let me open up our time with a word of prayer this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this awesome opportunity just to study your word as we get to know, as we learn that knowing you, we can know you intimately, we can know you truly through the word that you have revealed yourself through. We thank you for this wonderful gift that you've given to us so that we get to know you more. Thank you for this time. I pray that as we study, Lord, that we may understand this idea of your word being the source of where we get to know you more and the only source that we get to do that. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So, if you know anything about me, you know my favorite, I'll give a candy for this. Whoever can say it the fastest and the quickest. What is my favorite college football team?
Nebraska.
Yes. Yes, Nebraska. Who is that, Jacob? That was definitely Jacob. Nebraska Cornhuskers. I love the Nebraska Cornhuskers, okay? So I was going to bring a jersey, but I completely forgot to bring my jersey. Actually, I'm going to wear it on Thursday night because I get to go to the game Thursday night over in Arrowhead Stadium, which is going to be awesome. Anyway, college football, football in general, is something I care about and something I value. I love cheering for my team. Really telling you that I'm a fan of the Nebraska Cornhuskers just tells you a little bit about me. It tells you what I value. It tells you that I value a mediocre football team. It tells you what I enjoy. It tells you that I enjoy the game of football and maybe even what kind of person I am. But while that fandom of being a fan of Nebraska, where was I? but while that fandom, that idea that I'm a fan of Nebraska says something about me, it says that I love college football, I love the Nebraska Cornhuskers, it doesn't tell you everything about me. Now, I want you to take a moment to think hard about this. What is something that tells you, or what is one object or possession that you own that really speaks to your identity, okay? What is that one thing that if someone saw it, maybe you wearing it, maybe you had it on your person, they would immediately learn something important about you? Maybe that's an instrument. Maybe you know the guitar. Maybe you know electric guitar if you're passionate about music. Maybe it's a baseball glove if you're passionate about the game of baseball. Maybe it's a pair of running shoes if you're running is a big part of who you are. What is that one thing that speaks a lot to who you are as a person? So, to get some more Jolly Ranchers here, can anyone give me an example? I want a few volunteers to share what is that object that you've thought of, and why does that represent a little bit about you? Yeah, Dominic.
If it would be me, I'd probably be holding my computer because
okay.
I use that to type my book a lot. So.
Okay. So what does that share about you? Okay, yeah, and you enjoy writing. Yeah, that's great. What else? Who else can, yeah, share. Yeah,
Zai. My nails.
Your nails?
I've never seen you without nails.
Yeah.
It shows my creativity and my passion, I guess, for them.
Okay, yeah. That's awesome. And that's what you want to do in the future too, right?
Yeah,
that's yes, sure. That's awesome. What else? Yeah, Bailey. Okay, yeah, that's perfect. One more. Oop. Yes, Emma.
Pens.
Your pens. Why your pens?
Because I love to write. And then yeah. I sit in my room for hours writing the ABCs just over and over again.
Just the ABCs, yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, that's great. Awesome. Okay. So these objects that we just mentioned, okay, all the objects that you guys mentioned, reveal something about who you are as a person, okay? But here's the thing. No single possession that you guys even mentioned, not even those things that you mentioned today, can completely capture your identity in a whole, okay? There's always more to us than just that one thing about us. In the same way, if you want to know who God is, and last week we found out that knowing God determines our eternity, We need something that fully reveals him to us, or truly reveals him to us. And that's exactly what we are going to talk about today. Okay? The Bible is God's primary way of making himself known to us, his children. And the best part about it, unlike a football, team, fan, or being a fan of a football team, or, any of these other examples that you said, a baseball glove, whatever that is, that only tells part of the story of who you are. The Bible is perfectly capable of showing us exactly who God is. It gives us everything we need to know about him to truly know him, as we will never fully know him because our God is incomprehensible, but it gives us everything we need to know to truly know him for life and for godliness, as the Word of God says. And this is great news for us, that we can truly know him through his Word. So just like last week, I have another big idea for you. It's at the top of your notes that just kind of summarizes this entire session, this lesson. And actually, after stating the big idea, I could stop and conclude the lesson here today, because that's everything I'm going to talk about is kind of built within this big idea. So the big idea today is God's Word is essential. God's Word is essential in our pursuit of knowing God. God's Word is essential in our pursuit of knowing God. His Word is essential in our pursuit of knowing God. Help me understand that. Why is God's Word essential in our pursuit of knowing God? I'll pass out some candy here. Someone else who hasn't gotten candy yet. Yes?
Because you can't know God without knowing things about him.
Okay, yeah. What else? Yes?
That's his way of talking and communicating. So that's how we can know more about him.
Yeah, that's how he talks to us and communicates to us. Yes. Awesome. That's good. All right, once you finish writing down that big idea, open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This may be a familiar passage to many of you, but this is where we're going to start. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 through 17. Point number one this morning is this: God's Word is where we come to know him. God's Word is where we come to know him. How do you guys get to know someone? So if there's someone at school that's new, how do you come to know them more? Yeah, Dominic. You talk to them. Okay. What else? Yeah, Mitchell. You spend time with them. Yeah. What else? Yeah, Allie. You learn about their passions. Cool.
Kind of observe what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, you observe. Yeah, what they're doing. Yeah. Yes. Ask them questions. Yes, exactly. So if you want to know someone, really, you listen to what they say. You observe them. You spend time with them. You hear their stories. You pay attention to what matters to them the most. How about a historical figure? How do you know a historical figure? Yes, Ellie.
By reading a history book or being part of it.
Yeah, by reading a history book. Yeah. What else? Any other ways? Yeah. Yeah, so if you want to learn about Lincoln, you go to Springfield, Illinois, right? Illinois?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where he lived. Yeah. Awesome. You go to museums. You learn about people that way, okay? If you want to know a historical figure, you read about them. You don't just assume you know Abraham Lincoln, even though Abe Lincoln is actually one of Kelsey's, she's related to him in some way, okay? You got to ask Kelsey how, but she's related to Abe Lincoln in some way, okay? So ask her about that. But, or Michael Jordan. You can't say you know Michael Jordan, who's the true GOAT. But you can't say you know him because you've just heard about their names. You need to learn about their lives. You need to learn what they have said, their words, and what made them who they were. So imagine this. And maybe this interaction is truer for you, and maybe it's not hard to imagine this, but you meet someone new, and the entire time you spend with them, you do all the talking. You spend the entire time speaking to them. You tell them about your life. You tell them about your favorite things. You tell them about your struggles. You tell them about your opinions, but you never give them a chance to speak. Would you truly know them? No. Yeah. Because a relationship isn't one-sided. It requires listening. And we're going to talk about how do we listen Well, today we're going to talk about how we listen. Next couple weeks from now, we're going to talk about how we talk in this relationship with the Lord. But that's, yeah, it's a relationship is two-way street. The same is true with God. So often we come to him in prayer and do all the talking. We tell him what we need. We tell him what we feel like. We tell him what we want in our lives. But we never stop to listen to what he has already spoken to us through his word. And if we never do that, we'll never truly know him. See, God has already revealed himself to us in scripture, which are his very words, which is his heart, which is his character to us. So if you want to truly know the Lord, you must be still, you must pause, and you must listen to the Lord really on a daily basis. You see, God, the creator of the universe, has chosen to reveal himself through this written word that we're about to read. So follow along with me as I read. Actually, I'm going to have someone read for me. Who wants to read? Someone who hasn't. Yes, Quinn, can you read for us nice and loud?
16-17?
Yes, 16-17. Awesome. Thank you. All right. So God's word is breathed out by him, God. It's not a collection of stories that people have just put together, but it's his actual words revealing to us his character, revealing to us his will, revealing to us his heart. See, on Wednesdays, those of you who attend Wednesday nights, you know this, Ascend High School students and I have been studying the overall story and message of the Bible. Okay, as we take one book each week and we see how it contributes to the overall story and message of the Bible, which is the good news of Jesus Christ. But there have been a few books that we've studied, and there's going to be a few books that we study even later on. Like we studied a few months ago the book of Mark. And in the book of Mark, many trusted scholars, many trusted theologians, commentators, pastors, and people smarter than I am, disagree on who wrote the book of Mark. People disagree on who wrote the book of Hebrews and many other books. But I believe it was this man named Mark who wrote about the memories of Simon Peter. But others would disagree with me on that. But anyway, we can all agree. What we can all agree upon is that God is the ultimate author of Scripture. As it says in 2 Peter 1:21. Can someone turn there and read that for me real quickly? 2 Peter 1:21. Whoever gets there first, if you can just start reading. 2 Peter 1:21. Yes, Ellie, can you read for us?
For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit.
Awesome. Thank you, Ellie. All right, yes. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of men, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So God the Spirit, but we know that since the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are all one, we can say that God, the triune God, is the author of this great book. He used finite men, like me and you, to put pen to paper, to put quill to scroll or whatever it was back then, to write out his purposes, to write out his will, to write out his intentions. Okay, it is through this wonderful book that we can come to know the Lord. So Jesus himself points us to Scripture in John 5:39. Can someone turn there for me? John 5:39. See, Jesus found himself increasingly the object of the religious leaders' persecution. Okay? They were always attacking him. But here the Pharisees, they're confronting Jesus both because he was healing people on the Sabbath day and because Jesus was equating himself to be God. He was equating himself with God the Father, the same person. The Pharisees were asking where Jesus' authority had come from. And here we see Jesus make a bold statement, not only about himself, but also about the Bible. Who's there? John 5:39. Someone who hasn't read yet. Bailey, have you not read? Can you read that for us?
John 5:39.
Yes, 5:39. Yep. Awesome. Thank you. Here you go. Yeah, what Jesus did here, it was a remarkable thing, okay? It was remarkable in his day. and equally very bold in our day if it would have happened in our day. Okay, Jesus was not talking about the New Testament here. Okay, he was saying that the Old Testament, that the Pharisees would have seen as Scripture itself, actually testifies to who Jesus is. Who Jesus is. That's pretty awesome, okay, if you think about it. But for our purposes today, what we see here is that the Bible is God's main way to teach us about himself, to teach us about his character, to teach us about his work in setting in place his plan to redeem mankind. So every page of the Bible, no matter what page you land on, is ultimately pointing you to the person of Jesus Christ, God in flesh. And it helps us to know him and grow in relationship with him. So if you want to know God, you must engage with his word. You must study his word. You must memorize his word. You must meditate on his word. Knowing God and his ways through studying his word is a vital part, of being still and knowing God, hitting pause in your life and knowing the Lord. But if all you do is learn about God, just to collect all this knowledge about him, you fall short of where you're intended, what you're intended to do. So let's look closer here. So that was number one. Number two is God's word is where we grow to be like him. So God's word is where we come to know him. God's word is where we grow to be like him. So it's not enough just to say, just to know about God. We've talked about that. It's not just enough to say that. We're called to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, by his word. See, in 2 Timothy passage that we just read, we see that the word of God is sufficient for every area of our lives. We see that the word of God is sufficient for everything. Everything in order to grow us in becoming more and more like him, more and more like Christ. Turn with me to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 24. This is the very end of the longest recorded sermon of Jesus Christ. Probably the most popular one as well. And within it, Jesus shows us that knowing about God's word is not enough. Just knowing about it is not enough. We must be applying it in order that we may grow to be more like him. One of the biggest shortfalls of many religious people, so-called religious people, is failing to live out the truth of God's word, is failing to live out the truth that they may have been convinced of. Many people who claim Christ will read their Bibles. Many people who claim Christ will listen to Christian music, will attend church on Sunday mornings, will listen to podcasts about religion and about Christianity, and will listen intently to sermons and Bible studies lessons, yet their lives don't reflect any sort of application of what they're learning. That is one of the main shortfalls of so-called religious people. So follow along with me as I will not read this. Someone who has not read, can you read Matthew 7, verse 24 through 27? Who's not read? I'll do Zach. Zach can read for us.
Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the wind blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. So this passage says, it says about as clearly as can be said, if we are to live according to Christ's instructions, it means putting the truth of God's word to work in our lives. Okay. When we put the word of God to work in our lives, when we obey the word of God, the storms of life, they will come. We're promised that we will face trials. We've talked about that in the Sunday morning service the past 2 weeks. Trials will come in our lives, but when they come, it will not shake us because of our strong foundation in the truth of the word of God. So when we don't apply God's truth in our lives, we have no foundation like the one in verse 26. Everyone who hears the word, these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man. We will be foolish if we do not heed the word of the Lord in our lives, who built his house on the sand and the rain fell. The trials came, floods came, winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. We see this also in the book of 2 Peter. Turn there with me. 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to be continuing to turn a lot, so be ready to turn. 2 Peter chapter 3. Can someone read verses 14 through 18? Someone who hasn't read. Mitchell, can you read for us nice and loud?
Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for me, be diligent, be found by him without spot or blemish, and at peace, and count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all of his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away by the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and of the day and now to the day of eternity. Amen.
Awesome. Thank you. All right, so this is very similar to that Matthew 7 passage. So Peter here calls us to grow and mature, to continue to grow and mature in our understanding of who the Lord is. And the question here simply for us is, how do we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord? And it's very simple, okay? But even though it is simple, it takes some spiritual sweat on your part, okay? You grow and mature by, as the Apostle Paul says, he says it in Colossians 3:16, I think it is, dwell in you richly, as you let the word of God dwell in you richly. We must understand God's grace in our lives, because without God's grace, we first of all are dead. We're dead in our sin, as Paul says in Ephesians 2. And secondly, if we do not understand the grace of God, we will never grow, because we think we can do it on our own. But it is truly through the grace of God that we can grow and mature in our faith, which is what Peter says here. To truly grow in grace is to grow in our understanding of what Christ has done for us on our behalf, and then grow in the appreciation of that grace given to us. So we must continue to learn more and more, study more and more, read more and more about what Christ has done for us, because it is only through those avenues that we will gain a better appreciation for what he has given us, and that is grace. So fall in love with studying the person and work of Christ, because he is central and vital to your salvation. Without him, you cannot be saved. So continue to fall in love studying the person and work of Christ. See, in order to grow and become, I use a lot of sports illustrations, so I hope you guys are okay with that, because I love sports. So in order to grow, to become a better athlete, if you play sports, you must train. You must work hard. You must sweat. You must grind. You fill in the blank. It's a lot of hard work. The same thing is true as a believer in Christ. In order for us to grow and mature, just like an athlete grows and matures, we must train, we must study, we must work hard, we must be diligent, we must put some spiritual sweat into this. Similar to plants, even. If you like plants, this is an illustration that I have no idea what I'm talking about, but I'll use it anyway, okay? In order for them to grow and bloom, okay, they need to be fed, right? You need to water them. I don't water them, and so my plants die. I'm the worst plant parent ever. But you need to feed them in order for them to bloom. They need to be fed. As believers, in order for us to grow and mature, we must be fed from the only true source, and that is the Word of God, which is why you need to study it, why you need to read it. And when we read and apply God's Word, it changes the way we think. It changes the way we speak. It changes the way we live our lives. Turn with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 shows the psalmist's love for the Word of God. Psalm 119. And really, it shows us not only his love for the Word of God, but what it does in his own life. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. I'm going to go with Will. Will's going to read that for us. Psalm 119, 9 through 11. Can you read that for us? Awesome. Thank you, Will. Here you go. Nice catch. See, this means that knowing God is not just about knowledge, a collection of knowledge. It's more about transformation. It's about life change. Listen to what James says about this. Listen to this. James 1, 22 through 25, which we're going to study in a few weeks here. But be a doer of the word. Not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Be a doer of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Listen to verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, so just one person who collects all this knowledge and just hears it and doesn't act upon it, listen to what it says. He's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So imagine looking into a mirror, okay, seeing dirt on your face in the morning. I don't know how you would have dirt on your face when you look into a mirror in the morning. There's a lot of questions going on in my mind. Why would you have dirt on your face? Anyway, and then just walking away and going to school with dirt on your face, okay? You would not do that, okay? You would clean it off, okay? That would be ridiculous if you didn't clean it off. If you looked at the mirror and saw dirt on your face and just walked out, or if you looked at your face and saw, I don't know, what do you see? Your hair messed up or your bedhead or whatever it is, and don't fix it, that would be ridiculous, okay? That is what James tells us here. When we hear God's word but don't live it out, it looks like looking in a mirror and forgetting what you look like. Guys, we grow in godliness, not just by hearing the word of God, but by applying it and doing it, the action of it. Lastly, number three, this is where we're going to end. Number three, God's word is where we learn to treasure him. God's word is where we learn to treasure him. So God's word is where we come to know him. God's word is where we grow to be like him, and God's word is where we learn to treasure him. See, when we truly engage with scripture, we begin to love the Lord more and more, more deeply, because we see how valuable he truly is. Look at Psalm 119, 103. Someone read that for me. Psalm 119, verse 103. Who's got that? All right, Dominic, can you read that for me? Verse 103.
How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth.
Okay, what is the psalmist saying here?
He's saying that God's word is the best thing you can ever learn. It's better than anything.
Yeah, yeah, and he illustrates it with honey, right? Honey is great, okay? Psalmist here describes God's word as sweeter than honey, okay? It's not just good for us. It's delightful. But if we are truly honest with ourselves, sometimes reading the Bible doesn't feel like a treasure. I know for me, most days, not most days, but some days I wake up and honestly, it feels like a chore. So the question is, why on earth is that? It's because our hearts are constantly tempted to treasure lesser things. The fleeting things of this world that the world puts in front of our eyes, such as social media, such as YouTube, such as TikTok, such as any other distraction you fill in the blank with, the world is trying to tempt us with, to treasure the worldly fleeting thing instead of Christ. That's what the world is trying to do. So imagine skipping a meal for an entire day. Imagine it's going to be all meals for an entire day, okay? What would happen at the end of the day?
Starving.
You'd be starving. I'd be so hungry, okay? I can't really go without breakfast. I need something in my system for breakfast, or I will be hangry, right? Most of you will be hangry if you miss a meal, okay? Same thing with me. But in the same way that if you miss meals for an entire day that you'd be starving, if you don't feed on the Word of God, our spiritual hunger will be filled by other things that don't satisfy. Listen to that, how the prophet Jeremiah treasures the Word of God. Listen to this, Jeremiah 15, verse 16. I love this verse. Listen to how he treasures it. Your words, he's talking to the Lord, your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. You see, Jeremiah didn't just read God's word. He consumed God's word like food. And he let it nourish him. He let it sustain him. You see, at first it may have felt like joy, but over time God's word became his delight. This teaches us that treasuring scripture isn't always an instant thing. But the more you engage with it, the more you study it, the more you read it, the more you see its true value. See, Jeremiah also found joy because God's word reminded him of his identity. He belonged to the Lord. So when you feast on scripture, we remember who we are in Christ. And we find true satisfaction in him and in him alone. And really, it's unlike the empty distractions of this world that leave us empty. We can find true satisfaction in studying the Word of God. See, like Jeremiah, we have to learn to consume God's Word, not just skim through it. Okay, not like you're trying to read through a book at school just to get the information from it. That's not how you study God's Word. The more you engage with God's word, the more you will treasure it. But if you neglect it, you'll start feeding on these lesser things like I said, social media, entertainment, distractions of this world. And then you're going to start to wonder why you feel so spiritually empty. And so the challenge for you this morning is this. Will you just glance at God's word occasionally whenever you feel like it or whenever you have time to do it? Or will you feast on it daily and set aside time in your daily life, letting it become your joy and your delight? So bringing this all together, okay? If you want to know God, you must seek him through his word, okay? If you want to grow to be like God, which should be the pursuit of every Christian, we must apply his word to our lives. If you want to treasure God above all else, you must delight in his word daily. So the question is, are you making God's word a priority? Guys, this study that we're going through the next couple weeks is about learning to be still and know God. To stop all the noise, to pause, stop all the busyness, and make time for what matters most, and that's knowing the Lord. God has given us his word so that we can know him. So the challenge this morning, as we wrap up this morning, I want to challenge you with this very question. What step will you take to engage with God's word this week? What step will you take to engage God's word the next month or the next year as we start school this week, as you started school maybe even last week? Maybe it's setting aside 10 to 15 minutes a day to read your Bible, to study it. Before you do anything else, before you get ready for school in the morning, set a plan, set a schedule of when you will be reading and what you will be reading. There are many plans out there for you as resources. Just Google Bible reading plan and it'll pop up. Don't just open up your Bible and just hum through it and then pick a verse, okay? Have a plan, have a schedule, okay? I have a schedule that sits in my brown Bible that I carry with me all the time, and I read through. I read through it every day. I encourage the guys that I disciple, and I've done this for years, to care for themselves spiritually before you care for yourself physically, because spiritual matters more. I challenge them to sit in the parking lot of the gym and dive into God's word for just 10 minutes before they go inside and work out. Or to sit inside their house on their couch and study God's word before they go out on their morning run. or prioritize scripture reading before anything else they do in the morning. Maybe it's memorizing a verse from Psalm 119. Okay, Psalm 119 is a beautiful picture of the psalmist's love for the Word of God. I found that it is better to memorize scripture together even. So find someone else who's going to memorize scripture with you and hold that person accountable as they hold you accountable to memorizing these verses. And, or maybe it's just journaling what you learn from scripture, not just reading about it, but journaling about it. My wife has encouraged me but she was encouraged by her discipler in high school to read through the book of Psalms and to journal everything about the Lord that she learned about the Lord through each psalm, his attributes, his character traits, everything about him. And she says to this day that discipline in her life grew her the most in her pursuit of knowing Christ. Maybe you can discuss these other steps in your small group as we're going to dismiss into guys and girls small groups again this morning. But whatever it is, you need to start now. Don't wait, because tomorrow is not even promised. And because knowing God is the most important thing that you could ever pursue. Let's pray, and then we're going to dismiss into small groups. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Just thank you for this time to study your word and just get to study just the importance of knowing you, that it's an urgent matter, Lord, that eternity's on the line, Lord, and that we get to know you through this wonderful gift that you've given to us through your sufficient, perfect word. We thank you for this time. Pray that our conversations in small group are honoring and glorifying to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.